Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in our Christian American series. If you'd like to learn more about the series or North Valley Church, you can check out our website at nvcmd.org.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dan Housen. I am a pastor here at North Valley Church, and I try and make opportunities to get y'all to know me so as you know me better, then you kind of get my perspective on where it is I'm coming from. So I'm going to take a moment and share a few things about me. I am the personality things. I'm a thinker, right? When things happen, I don't tend to react to them. I tend to step back and I tend to think through. I'm a processor. Also, I'm not a detail-oriented person. I'm terrible at details. I'm more of a big picture kind of guy. So when things are going on around me, I tend to look at the big picture, ask the big questions, and then I want to wrestle with it, right? I just want to think it through and figure it out. And I find that fun, right? So that's fun for me. So having a challenging conversation, even in my head, right? So that's a fun thing for me. Side note, and I'm also a Revolutionary War buff. I kind of like the whole Revolutionary War. George Washington is my leadership hero. So I've got roots in there. On January 6th, a group of people stormed the Capitol. They were doing some political protest stuff, and they thought it appropriate to storm the Capitol. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the impact that that had. Some people lost their lives in that. A policeman died doing his job defending the Capitol. So I'm saddened by all that, and all that's not a good part of this. But Dan being Dan, I when I'm watching it on the news, I'm also watching the people respond to it. The folks on the news networks, Facebook, just random people on Facebook, my friends on Facebook. And so I'm not trying to scare you. Try not to get up and walk out just yet. Give me till the end of the sermon, then you can walk out. Maybe wait for the last two songs. But here's what's going through Dan's mind. Wow, these people... There are people completely shocked that this happened. And so I'm reflecting, I'm going, you know, this country was founded on a violent takeover of government. That's kind of like our history. You know, the Second Amendment of the Constitution, which is our right to bear arms, it wasn't written so we could go hunt deer. Right? People gel that conversation down to that, but that's not why the Second Amendment there. Read the Second Amendment, read what the Founding Fathers meant and intended when they put that in there. It is meant so that an armed citizenry... Just now that whether it's okay or not, it's just, why are we surprised? It's part of our history, it's part of our DNA, that these kinds of things might happen. And we can do things to aggravate them, or we can do things so that they don't need to, right? Well, we get a choice. Just months ago, when I'm preparing this series, I don't know why, just God... You should do a sermon series on Christian American. I don't know, what? And so the second sermon of the series was, what's our view of government? If you were here last week, you heard me talk about last week's sermon was all about where am I standing when I'm viewing government, because where I stand changes my perspective. Remember, if I'm in Harper's Ferry, looking at Harper's Ferry, it looks very different than if I'm on Maryland Heights looking down on Harper's Ferry. Same place, you see different things. It means different things to you. Where are we standing as we're interpreting the things that are going on around us? Are we standing over here next to the earthly side of the world, looking at it through our earthly view? Now, when Dan's going, well, it's part of our history. Well, it's in our Constitution. I'm standing over here on the earthly side. So months ago, I decided, let's take a look at government as part of being a Christian American. And I had some ideas that I threw in months ago. But I needed to move from wherever it was I was standing over there. I wanted to get to here. What's the heavenly perspective of what's going on? And as I wrestled with the sermon this week, the titles changed three times, right? So it was one title on Monday. Wednesday I changed it, so the Express newsletter you got had a different title than what I planned on Monday. Then Saturday morning I changed the title again. Right? If you gave me two more days, I bet I could come up with a better one. So it's part of the journey and growing, right? So I'm just being transparent with you all. There was some epiphanies for Dan as he was working through this sermon. Because as I'm applying the things, there's some go-to scriptures in the Bible about how we should view government. And as I was looking at that, there's a moment in my preparation, and it typically happens on Saturday morning, where I preach the sermon to myself. What's my response to this sermon? And as I was preaching this, there's this voice inside my head that said, what about the American Revolution? What's, from this perspective, the view of the American Revolution? How might God genuinely feel about what happened when we took the country from the Britons? So I'm wrestling with these things, and I'm a Revolutionary War buff. I like George Washington. I got stacks of books on the Revolutionary War. But now I have a new journey. I told Millie, I said, I have more books to buy. We need to go to Williamsburg. I'm asking myself, what was the theology behind the American Revolution? And as I'm doing some preliminary research, there was a theological argument about whether or not we should have an American Revolution. We can review those documents. So Dan's got a whole, oh wow, I'm going to get to go play in that sandbox. I'm going to introduce you all this morning to my sandbox. How are we supposed to view government? But in the sidelines, we're going to look through it as, so what does that mean about what it is that we've been doing? What does that say about our DNA that I identified earlier? When you decide to talk to people about government and you want to see what the Bible says about it, there's a go-to place that it's easy to go to because Paul writes it and it's just so crystal clear that he says, this is how we should treat the government. It is out of Romans chapter 13. So we're just going to start walking through Romans chapter 13. We're going to start on verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, is taking very seriously doing rebellious things against the government. That Paul is saying that's not where we ought to be. And I want you to think for a moment the context this was written in. Right? This isn't just an intellectual dissertation. This is written by a guy named Paul. And if you grab the devotionals that were in your program, there's a verse or two by Peter, who said essentially the same thing. Two guys that were regularly imprisoned and beaten by the government for their faith. And they wrote this. that we need to obey what the government authorities are. They wrote it to a group of Christian churches who were experiencing the same thing. They take a very hard line about rebellion, that it ain't okay. As we wrestle with this, their context helps set what this means and how we ought to respond to government. Like I said, this is the go-to verse. Let's continue on with that in verse 3. For rulers hold no terror over those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. If you've got your outline and you want to do some underlining, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For the rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring the punishment on the wrongdoer. I have talked here before about how we should be responding to difficult situations, when people do things that make us angry, when people do things that hurt us. Revenge is not an okay response on our part. We're supposed to turn that over to God, and this little passage here is giving us a clue. And oh, by the way, the government is part of God's agent of wrath. When somebody does something wrong, they are acting in God's will to punish the wrongdoer. So, that speeding ticket you got came from God. Right? It was written by a policeman, but it was sent to you by God. Y'all ain't happy about that. One guy giggled. Everyone else is like, oh man, chill out. I have to wait till the end of the sermon to leave? Revenge isn't cool, and we need to see the government. We're supposed to be subject to the government. We're supposed to do what they, we're respecting them as being established by God. And recognizing that, hey, you know what? There are laws and policemen, and they enforce those things, and they are doing God's will when they do those things. That's kind of a big thing for us to wrestle with some days. Some days we don't like it, but you know what? What's the option if we don't do that? Anarchy. So I might mention this again later, but as I've been reading through this, one thing God's not cool with is anarchy. He established governments. He doesn't want us all just running around doing what we think. Governments were established by God. Therefore, I'm going to submit to it. And that's what it says very clear in verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So, this is our starting point. When I want to stand over here, and this is just clearly written, my starting point is I need to be submitting to the government authorities that are in place. Rebellion against them isn't viewed on positively by God. Not only because of possible punishment, but also because of our conscience. We ought to know that there's things that God's not cool with, and rebelling against the government is going to be on that list. It's a matter of our conscience, a matter of our relationship with God, which puts us in the, I'm standing with my heavenly view, how ought I be seeing things? This passage continues on for another couple of verses. Verse 6. This is also why you pay taxes. And we say, yay! Wow. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing, to give to everyone what you owe them. Right? Catch this list of four things. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Right? So we've got this view of government. It's established by God. Rebelling against it is not looked on very kindly by God. And in the day, right, written by Paul and the other apostles, where paying taxes to the Romans, Jews didn't like that. So that was a constant force of issue. Should I pay taxes? Paul's making it as clear as day. If you're supposed to pay taxes, pay taxes. I've got a friend. He is the CFO and chief executive officer of the Baptist State Convention of Maryland and Delaware. Blah, blah, blah. He leads financial seminar stuff. He's got this cool saying. You should pay the government every penny that you owe them and not a penny more. Right? Be wise. When you're doing your taxes, we're in tax season, so let's just take a moment and talk about taxes. Government taxes. One of the things we're supposed to do with the government is give them our money. Right? You can quote Pastor Dan said, give them my money. Excellent. No one got up and left yet. So, we've got tax laws, right? Invest the time to fill out the tax laws. Take every deduction you possibly can. But after you've taken your deduction, man, be honest, be trustworthy. It's no better stealing from the government than a neighbor. It's not okay. So take a moment and do the taxes. Revenue is in here. If we owe people money, right? Paul broadened his counsel for a moment that this applies to everybody. If we owe people money as Christians, we ought to be doing our best to pay it back. Taking or borrowing money and not paying it back, God frowns on that. We ought to be good stewards of the resources God gives us. Then respect and honor that the people we encounter, and I'm going to pull back again and look at the government, our government officials ought to receive respect and honor from us. Regardless if you agree with the president or not, he deserves your respect and honor. Right? Governor Hogan, who's been guiding Maryland through all this crazy COVID stuff, whether you agree with it or like it or not, he's in a government official office. We ought to be showing respect and honor. Peter actually uses the words, honor the emperor. He's outright calling out, you guys need to show honor and respect to Caesar. Yeah, the guy whose government is imprisoning us and beating us. We still ought to be showing honor and respect to those government officials. So, let's just take a step back now. I've read this passage, this like seminal passage on government. There are Christian leaders, even in the conservative evangelical camp, if you want to call yourself inside that camp, I do, who look at this passage of scripture and the American Revolution, and they say that the American Revolution was biblical rebellion. That the founding fathers who led the rebellion and overthrew and kicked out the British had no biblical foundation to do that. I'm going to let you all wrestle with that just for a second while I drink some water. So this is heavy, isn't it? You see what I mean? Things start to look different here. When I'm standing over here with the heavenly view, things start to get a different perspective, and I'm a little more challenged about how I go forward. There are people who would look at this passage of Scripture and say the American Revolution was biblical rebellion. I wouldn't agree with them. For those who have hung out in my systematic theology class, we're going to go there just for a moment. There are two ways, so I'm going on a rabbit trail for a moment. There are two ways you can read your Bible. You can do it from a biblical theology point of view, or you can do it from a systematic theology point of view. It doesn't mean systematic theology is not biblical. We're defining kinds of approaches. In biblical theology, I dig into a passage of Scripture, and I form my theology based on single passages of Scripture. In systematic theology, I look at the breadth of the Bible, and then I form my opinions and responses to the things going on around me based on what the breadth of the Bible says about a topic. So if you wanted to laser target on Romans 13, 1 through 7, yeah, you could draw that conclusion. Well, I'm going to take a step back for a moment and see, let's see what the breadth of the Bible says about that. If you've been hanging out at North Valley Church, we've been following a dude named Moses. What did Moses just get done doing? The kids are all downstairs, right? Oh, there's one up here, so I have to be careful. Okay. He was putting a hurting on Egypt. What happened to the Egyptians? They got whooped. Huh? They went swimming. That was ultimately what they ended up doing. And God made that happen. So God has a different point of view about things like what happened in Egypt than he does here. All right, so let's look at some more points of view. Let's drill into that for a moment. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews, there's this chapter called chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, that people call it the Hall of Faith. It's in the New Testament, so you can't, it calls out Old Testament saints, but you can't look at it and go, oh, well, that's Old Testament stuff. It doesn't apply to us as New Testament Christians. This is written in the New Testament, and these guys are given props for the things they did. So we're going to hang out in Hebrews 11 for a little bit and see the things that are praised by the writer in Hebrews. By faith, we're going to review Moses, right? We just got done talking Moses. And now I'm reading out of the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Right? Remember that? He is talking about the final plague where the Israelites sacrificed the lamb, put the blood of the lamb on their doorway. Right, that foreshadowing of who Jesus is to us, that's what he's talking about. And in that moment, the nation of Egypt suffered greatly. And God made that happen. And as William referred to, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. In William's paraphrase, they went swimming. And they didn't come out of that very well. So I've got this passage in Romans 13, but then I'm watching what's going on in Hebrews 11. So let's take a context look at Hebrews 11. What was going on in Hebrews 11? An oppressive, tyrannical government. How the Egyptians were treating the Israelites were not okay. Was not okay. God establishes government. God expects us to submit and not be rebellious and pay taxes. But there's a line. There's a line that our governments can cross. And when they become tyrannical, then Christians are authorized by God to have a response. Let's read a few more, guys. I'm still in Hebrews chapter 11. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith, if you're underlying or paying attention, catch this, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was that when the government crosses this imaginary line of being tyrannical, oppressive, and turning people into slaves, we have authority to act and respond. It's not okay. God establishes government. He wants government to happen because he is not okay with anarchy. On the flip side, governments don't have permission to oppress and enslave the people that that they're administering to. Brief rabbit trail. And so, if you're a person of color hearing this, this matters. It's not okay for the government to enslave people or to authorize it. And if we look at our history, we've done a poor job as America of administering that. for people of color. Next week, we're going to talk more about standing here and viewing my interaction to more societal things. But today, in terms of the government, there are things there that have been going on in the past, might be going on today, that are not okay because of this value. I'm going to stay on a rabbit trail just for a second. We need to be wary of, oh, so I'm going to rebel because they're being tyrannical, they're oppressing my freedoms, and so I'm going to step out and do that, right? That is the view of the South in the Civil War. The South had a very biblical view, what they thought, a very biblical, God's called us to do this point of view of why they would do what it was they were doing. As we look at history, right, they would have grasped onto these verses and said, yeah, God's not okay with tyranny. Those people in the North are trying to tell us how to run our lives. So the hole in there was the things that the South wanted to do, God wasn't okay with. Freedom at any cost, it doesn't mean you can subject someone else's freedom. And you could say, God saw that, it worked out the way it did. We will be talking more about that next week. So there's a point where God has a view of tyrannical and oppressive and enslaving people governments where people's freedom and liberty and their ability to worship, he don't step on those, right? That's not okay. So where do we draw that line? How do we make that decision? Clearly, the guys in the New Testament, the Pauls and Peters and the apostles, they never preached rebellion. They never led any charges of the citadels of Roman rule. How did they get there? At some point, as we wrestle with what's going on earth and our government, we need to keep our heavenly perspective, right? What do I know about standing over here? I'm on a mission. And governments matter. Freedom matters. But my mission is, I'm an ambassador of reconciliation. Based on that, how would we respond to our governments? Take a look at First Timothy 2. I should number my pages more closely. There we go. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that petitions and prayers, intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. Pray for your government leaders. Right? If I'm going to stand from my heavenly perspective, that's where it starts. That I ought to be praying for good things for them, regardless of who's in office. I don't need to like them. I don't need to agree with them. But I can pray that God would intercede on their behalf. This passage continues. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Praying for our leaders pleases Jesus, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people that has now been witnessed to at the proper time. We keep the mission. As we look and decide how do I respond to things and what other people and governments are doing, man, we keep the mission, the main thing. When I look at the American Revolution, do I think it was biblical rebellion? No. because the tyranny that was going on between Britain and America wasn't okay. We tend to put a stake in the ground on the Declaration of Independence. Important document, big day. We don't talk a lot about the 2 years before that, where the American government, the Continental Congress, had been trying to communicate to Britain, don't do this. Stop. Let's negotiate. What you're doing is not okay. And they heartedly pursued resolving this stuff through communication and dialogue. Those conversations were met with British troops. From a certain perspective, you could say we were attacked. And God says it's okay to self-defense. That at some point you need to say, okay, that's it. Well, when I'm doing those things, I never lose sight of the mission. When I'm doing those things and making those responses, I keep in mind that God called me to do something unique. That through his ministry on the cross to reconcile me to God, that regardless of all the sin and crazy things that I've done in my life, Jesus died on the cross for me. So that regardless of the sins that I've done in the past and the ones that I'm going to do in the future, the ones I'll do before lunch tomorrow, that God's already forgiven me for those things. Because I put my faith and trust in him, I realize that I can't get it right all the time. I'm going to mess it up. And I'm going to trust in the forgiveness I have in him and what he performed on the cross. And when I put my faith and trust in him and receive his forgiveness and his leadership in my life, I'm forever transformed. I'm transformed for eternity starting today. And if you've never done that before, man, take a chance to do that today. Take a step and come talk to me after the service. And we can talk about what next steps. What does forward look like when I'm standing here? Because when I'm standing here, after last week's sermon, I've talked to a handful of people who said, thank you for last week's sermon, because standing here is confusing and it's stressful and it's difficult to figure out. When I'm standing over here, things make more sense. I can see things from God's perspective. Now I know how I'm supposed to respond to these ridiculous things. When I'm standing over here, I can see what my government is doing, and I know what my response is supposed to be. Were those people supposed to charge the Capitol on January 6th? No. They might have been working in their DNA and passionate about the things they believed, but had they encountered and engaged in the course of dialogue try and prevent the violence? No. They went on the offensive and attacked. And that's not okay. You see how standing here gives us clarity. Not only to see our government, to see what it means to be a Christian American, but it gives clarity in all the places in our life. If we get standing in the right place so that we see things from this point of view. I would like to ask the band to come up. While they are, I just want you to take a moment. There was a lot of big info today about how to view government. What part of it did you resonate with? What part may have been challenging? That we're supposed to show the government honor and respect. We're supposed to pay our taxes. Maybe for some that was really challenging. But I want you to find a place where, okay, God, I hear what you're speaking to me today. And I know what you feel about government. And to my best, I'm going to engage in it. I'm going to engage in it and instill as much of my Christian values in it as I can. But ultimately, I'm going to stand over there when I'm looking at it. And I'm going to see things from your point of view and your eyes. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, man, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you that you care about us. You don't want us to live in anarchy. You established civil government so that we could live orderly, peaceful lives. Thank you. Help us keep embrace about that. Help us respect governments and the role that they play in our life. God, but help us be sensitive about when tyranny starts to happen. Lord, it's going to start with recognizing tyranny happening to me. We always respond to that. But God, I want you to help us be able to see tyranny that might be happening to other people. that maybe we can be champions for what it is that God's view of government should be, that it should bring peace, it should bring freedom. Lord, and that we would be champions of that. And as ministers of reconciliation, we would find ways to reconcile the issues that don't have to resort to violence. But if we have to defend ourselves, and I thank you and praise you for those men and women who engage themselves in doing that for us every day. So, Lord, I pray that you would guide us and inspire us into the places that you want us to be as we find out how to be Christians and view the world and our country through your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.